Okay. All right, well, it's good to be here with everybody. We got a good crowd, and we're going to prepare ourselves in our usual fashion by having a few moments of silent prayer. And during that time, we have the opportunity to name privately to God the Father any unconfessed sins, which ensures the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day of your grace and the opportunity to be here out in the open and not be afraid of anybody that are trying to kill us. And that is because of your grace also. And we just thank you for your word and how it just lifts us up and gives us a huge dose of reality. And the reality is that you are God, you're the sovereign of the universe. And we are here to grow in grace and knowledge by taking in your word. So we pray that you will help us to focus and concentrate this evening. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to put this on the board. Let me see. I might want to go back a little bit here. I think I'm going to start here just to give us a little momentum. This is what we ended on last time. And we can go on this and we'll just go right into tonight's as well. Unfortunately, millions and millions of believers don't know about the power of 1 John 1:9. It is the way that God designed to bring believers back into fellowship with Him after they have sinned. And of course, everybody sins. And so this is very good to know. It is also important to note that no believer can be in fellowship with God, nor be filled with the Holy Spirit, nor learn Bible doctrine, or apply it, nor execute God's plan for our life if we don't rebound, which is a term used to describe a believer who acknowledges his sins to God the Father. Now, the whole thing in this is some people might think, oh, well, it might be a little bother if we don't acknowledge our sins to God. But all of those things, bam, they're gone. They're no more available to us until we humble ourselves and acknowledge our sins to God the Father. And that is what rebound is all about. Now, some of you may not have heard rebound before, but I think most of you have. And it just means you're going in one direction when you sin. And then when you humble yourself, acknowledge your sins to God, then it's like a U-turn. You do a 180, I guess you would call it. That means that believers who refuse to rebound or who don't know about 1 John 1:9, and I think there's probably more that don't even know what 1 John 1:9 is about. There's probably more of them. But in any case, they remain in carnality, estranged from God, living as a slave inside Satan's cosmic system, until they rebound or until they go into reversionism, which has, I think it's about 8 different levels of getting worse and worse, which leads to the sin unto death. So that's how it's important for people to know 1 John 1:9 and understand how to use it. Those who don't know how to get back into fellowship with God, so they try to either... They try by their own efforts to be right again with God. So they know they sinned. They want to be right with God. And so if they don't know anything about 1 John, never heard of it, refuse to use it, this is what happens. Those who don't know how to get back into fellowship with God, so they try their own efforts to be right again with God. And that is a disaster. Anytime we have to go into the idea that we have to make it up or by our own efforts, make it right with God, then we are on the wrong track, because God has done everything. And well, the last part of this paragraph will say a lot. So they try to make it up to God through doing penance. I always spit when I do that. Excuse me. So they try to make it up to God for doing penance, self-flagellation. They don't do that much in this part of the woods, but in other places they do. They just have a whip, and they have no shirt on, and they're whipping themselves, and that pain is supposed to make them closer to God somehow. Fasting. They think they can fast and make up their sins to God. Or making promises to God. This one is probably the most busy one there, because every time, if you don't know anything about 1 John 1:9, you don't know how to use it or what it's about, then you're going to go into these kind of things, and people make promises to God all the time, and He's heard them all. And when you make a promise to God, God, I'll never do it again. I imagine He's up there just belly laughing at all those things, because He knows. Well, it's really not funny, but still, they come up with all these things. And of course, God, no one can get this in your mind. No one anywhere at any time has ever been able to do something from their efforts to get right with God. God is the one that makes the rules. And the rules to get right with God is to humble yourself, to acknowledge your sins to God, period. And that's how we get back even with God, and these people don't know it. And, excuse me, so they try to make it up, and they're making promises to God. They help others by volunteering, and on and on and on. They're trying to do all these good things, and they are not acceptable to God in the least. In fact, look at the next paragraph. God hates all of man's efforts to be forgiven for his sins. It is super arrogant for man to even try, because God offers His forgiveness through His grace alone and nothing else. But they're not interested in that. They want to be arrogant and show God that they can do it on their own. Now we begin tonight's lesson. When we name our sins to God on the basis of grace, and that's how it is, we must leave out emotion. I'm going to stop on a few of those and give you a little more information. A lot of people, when they sin, they get emotional about it, and it could be that they're crying out about it and all that kind of stuff. Nearly 100% of the time when someone sins, if they don't know about 1 John 1:9, they feel guilty. We, as the royal family of God, should never harbor guilt, because the remedy is 1 John 1:9. And so you can get that guilt away in no time, but you have to know that guilt is a sin in that sense. Or they're feeling sorry. A lot of people go to God, "Oh, God, I'm so sorry. Oh, I'll never do good." That's mush. That's crap. So a lot of people do it that way. And doing penance, I won't spit again. I think I might be getting a spot over here somewhere. It'll go away when we're out of rebound. So forgiveness is God's work, and if you attempt to add anything to it, you are not forgiven. Because, see, when you are emotional, that clutters up everything. Or if you feel guilty, all these things are taking what really is the main thing, and that is you acknowledging your sins to God, and He forgives them. Every time He forgives them. And all this other stuff, people, they're trying to get in good with God, and they offer things to God that He hates, because they don't even know how to get back in fellowship. So feeling sorry and doing penance for our sins, because all that is blasphemy. That's what God calls it, blasphemy. Do it the way He says and you are fine. And you won't have to deal with all this garbage here. Now, forgiveness is God's work. It's not our works. Is it work to just acknowledge our sins? No, it's not work. But God had to do a lot of work in order for Him to be able to forgive us. So forgiveness is God's work. And if you attempt to add anything to it, you are not forgiven, period. Just do what the Scripture says and nothing else, and you'll be just fine. Furthermore, we don't need to ask God to forgive our sins, because when we acknowledge them to Him, they are immediately forgiven. Have you ever heard somebody say, "Oh, I did so and so, I told God 100 times how sorry I am." Boop, boop. It just makes me livid. They're ignorant. They don't even know what the Scriptures say. And it's on God's part, we don't have to ask. If you ever had someone tell you that you did something and you were so sorry, and they were saying that, telling God that, "Hey, sorry," have y'all ever heard that, ever run into that? Y'all just don't get out about much, do you? I've seen it a lot of times. But I'm not trying to mock these people. They're doing the best they can, but they are, for the most part, biblically ignorant, and they're just trying things that they don't even know that God hates what they're doing. Just acknowledge your sin, and God not only will forgive that sin, but He also will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Believers who fall away from the grace of God re-enter the cosmic system. Now, the cosmic system, I'll just stop here to bring everybody up to date. There are two grand systems that have been around since eternity past. We have the divine dynasphere, that is God's system of how He does things. And then you have the cosmic system, which is Satan's way of doing things. And in any moment in time, whenever it was, you are either going to be operating on God's divine dynasphere. Dynas comes from the Greek word dunamos, which means dynamite. So we can say God's sphere of power is dynamite. However, Satan's cosmic system, cosmic comes from the word cosmic, which means the world in the Greek. So, believers who fall away from the grace of God re-enter the cosmic system, making them the enemy of God. And you're going to be on one side or the other. But you can't be on both sides at the same time. But you're not going to be 100% of the time in God's divine dynasphere, because we are sinners. And yet, some people might get pretty close to being always on Satan's side. But anyway, I wanted to bring that up so if somebody didn't know what that was, they might be able to make it out. So believers who fall away from the grace of God re-enter the cosmic system, making them the enemy of God. However, rebound is God's gracious provision to break the power of the cosmic system and decontaminate us from sin, human good, and evil. When you acknowledge your sins, and I'll just use the term that we're familiar with, is rebound. When you rebound, then even though you're inside the cosmic system, rebound jerks you out of there, and it also breaks the power of the cosmic system and decontaminates us from sin, human good, and evil. Now, I'm thinking ahead, and I think one of you, maybe none of you, but I think somebody will be hearing this and say, "Well, if it breaks the power of the cosmic system and decontaminates us from sin, human good, and evil, what is human good in there? What is that about? I mean, why is it in right beside sin and evil. Well, some of us, we know that there's, with God, it's either this or it's something else. Divine good is believers who are they're keeping up with giving their rebound when they sin, but they wait on God. They don't get out ahead of God. They're depending on God and they're trusting in God. And they know that the Holy Spirit is going to give them the power that they need to do the things that God requires. And so that is an ongoing thing. And we call that spirituality. That's being in the spiritual side. And that's divine good. And all of us, since we are believers, should be producing divine good, goodness. What did I say a while ago? Divine good. Divine good is when God is in it. He's, and we're doing what we're supposed to do. And human good is leaving God out of it. Now, human good isn't something bad. People do human good, and what one reason God hates it is because they think that this is they don't need divine good, or they don't need to rebound into any of those things, because they think that human good is something that impresses God, which it does not. He hates when his children are producing human good. And it means with human good means that God isn't involved in it. Anything that God is not involved in, do you think he's going to bless that? Anyway, maybe I made something out of nothing, but I thought somebody might be wondering why that was there. Back to the second line. Rebound frees us to get back into fellowship with God and to keep on moving towards spiritual maturity. And how hard is it to rebound? All these things that it's talking about on the good side happens when you acknowledge your sin. But when you don't, and you go ahead and do things anyway, well, that's something that God is going to address. Now, here's some synonyms for rebound in the Bible. It doesn't say rebound here, but each one of these verses that I'm going to show you as illustrations has to do with rebound, acknowledging your sins to God. So this first one is about self-judgment. If we judge ourselves, we will not be judged. That's what this is about. And this is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27 through 31. 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 31. And I have in parentheses things inserted there that will help you understand what these verses are saying. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner. So what is the context here? It's talking about communion. It's talking about the Lord's Supper. And he's saying, whoever eats or drinks, eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy way, and they were doing that, and that's why they wrote this verse is there, because they would get there early, and they would steal people's food, and they would... everything that they were doing was sinful. So he said, whoever eats of the bread and or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Now, he's talking about it's really a huge disrespect to not only the body of the Lord, but also the blood of the Lord. And we've gone over this so many times. The blood of Christ is not literal blood. It is a representative analysis that refers to the work that Christ did on the cross, and they just call it the blood of Christ. Christ did not bleed to death. That's easy to prove. But verse 28, but let a man examine himself. What does that sound like? Sounds like rebound, doesn't it? And what do we do when we have communion or the Eucharist, Lord's Supper, whatever you want to call it? Before we take of the elements, what's the first thing we do? We have silent prayer for people to go into their soul to see if there's any unconfessed sins lurking about. And if they are there, then we acknowledge those sins and we're good to go. But if we don't do that, we'll see what this verse has to say about that as well. But let a man examine himself, rebound to acknowledge our sins privately to God. And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So if you rebound, it's fine. You're good to go. Verse 29. For he who eats and drinks, and the context here is without rebounding, without acknowledging their sins, those people eat and drink judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly. And they don't. If you're not taking the Lord's Supper seriously, and that you are doing it without what God requires, which is examine yourself, then when they eat and drink those elements, judgment to himself. They're putting judgment on themselves if he does not judge the body rightly. Now, verse 30. For this reason, many among you are weak. And that means warning, discipline. And sick. These are people now that are ignoring what God has said. They're not rebounding and they don't have the respect and the awe that they should have. So the first thing they do is they are going to be warned, get warning, discipline. And if that doesn't help, then and sick, that would be intensified discipline. And if that doesn't work, then a number sleep. And you know what sleep means in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament. It's talking about dying. So that is dying discipline. So when God is giving these instructions, it's not just something, well, if you want to do it, that's all right. If you don't, no. We're going to do things His way. He is in charge. He is the master. Verse 31, but if we judge ourselves rightly, and I already know what that is, it's a third-class conditional clause, maybe you will and maybe you won't, but if we judge ourselves rightly, we should not be judged. Do you see? Is this coming together a little bit now? This is just the first one of how this is linked. This self-judgment, that's the whole thing about these verses here, is that if you judge yourself and you see, I see something I need to acknowledge, then that's fine. And that's what this one was about. The second one here is lay aside every weight. And that weight is sin caused by stress. Of course, none of us here know anything about stress, do we? Can we pass this one up? I don't think so. So we go to Romans chapter 12, verse 1, and it says this. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every weight. You see it up there? That's what this is about. And what that means, how do you lay aside every weight is by rebounding, by acknowledging. It's like the sins that you haven't acknowledge are weighing you down. It's a heavy weight in that sense. And so he says, let us also lay aside every weight, rebound, and the sin which is so easily entangles us. So we can see that the weight is connected with the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. There's a lot in that verse. You get down to where the sin will entangle you, but when you acknowledge it, it's gone. It's forgiven instantly, and you're back right with God. That's what we need to focus on. Okay, number 3 is lift up the hands that hang down. This is in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12. Therefore, strengthen the hands that hang down. You see, that's what we see up there. If you have hands that are hanging down, you know, you're just kind of like, are you happy at that time? Do you think you got the world as an oyster? Not hardly. Just the opposite. But, and I think we all, from time to time, have had these hands that hang down, and even throws in also knees that are feeble. Therefore, the strengthen. This is a command. Strengthen the hands that hang down, and strengthen the knees that are feeble. You see out to the end there, I said, how? How do you do that? You all know the answer, don't you? What have we been talking about? We've been talking about rebound. We've been talking about going to God with our sins. So by restoring of your strength, by restoring of your strength through rebounding and the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, whenever you rebound, whenever you acknowledge that sin, bam, it's gone. It's, forget about it. And at that same moment, you're filled again with the Holy Spirit. At one time, every time we sin, we are away from, we're no longer dwelling in the Holy Spirit. We get into carnality. And so when we restore our, the way to restore the strength from the hands and knees that are feeble is to rebound. And that not only brings everything back into its place, including the filling of the Holy Spirit. You cannot have the filling of the Holy Spirit if you have unconfessed sins. Is that what you want to keep? No. Okay. Number four. Lay aside the old man. Now, you might be married to an old man, but that's not what this is talking about. You all know what it is. The old man is the old sin nature. So in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, that with reference to your former lifestyle, these were believers who are thinking about what they were like before, and that is post-salvation sinning. Now it's they're believers, and they have post-salvation, and they sin. You know, a lot of people think if you are a believer and you walk the aisle or you raised your hand or whatever you did, and they think, well, now you don't sin anymore because you're saved. And they're a bit mixed up because all of us are believers, I assume, and all of us sin. And we'll sin until the end of our lives. But what we want to do is spend so much time in God's divine dynasphere and keep growing and learning and trusting. And then the old sin nature can't touch us. So, again, Ephesians 4:22. That, with the reference to your former lifestyle, post-salvation sinning, you yourself lay aside your old man. Now, there is only one way to get rid of the old man, or as this says here, lay aside your old man, and that is to not acknowledge your sins. And, I've said this so many times, when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are no longer dominated by the old sin nature. That changed because you died to the old sin nature on the cross when Christ died. And that means that, excuse me, you can't blame anything of the old sin nature. Excuse me, the old sin nature is still there, but he doesn't have ultimate power over you anymore. And so if you're going to sin, it has to be because you want to sin, and the Holy Spirit might be trying to tempt you, but he's really doesn't have much going for him then. And so when we sin, we have to go over a hurdle, not of the whole, of the old sin nature, because that's not really functioning anymore. So it says rebound is the way to lay aside the old man. You who are becoming corrupted, that means falling into reversionism. I need to teach that maybe before too long. It's got. It's when a person just says, I've had it, I'm just going to do what I want to do. And they go in phase 1, 2, 3, 4. It just goes on down. And the last part is the sin unto death. So you who are becoming corrupted, that means falling into reversionism, on the basis of the lusts of deceit, that strong pleasures from the sin nature and your area of weakness. We all have areas of weakness. Excuse me. Your area of weakness might be completely different than mine. And I would, if you, whatever yours was, and I said, oh, well, there's nothing to it. Well, of course there's nothing to it if it's not your weakness. But if you do have one, and that's what he's talking about here. He says your area of weakness. This emphasizes rebound as the means of victory over the old sin nature. And that's a big victory. And you will feel it in your spiritual life. And then here's the fifth one and the last one I have. Arise from the dead. Interesting. Ephesians 5:14. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Okay, well, you probably already figured out that arise from the dead doesn't mean you're literally dead. So I explained this a little bit here underneath it. Believers can turn away from God and His plan to the extent that he behaves like an unbeliever. It seems that he is temporarily spiritually dead. The way to get back on track is to arise from the dead through rebounding. So if you look in our website where it says what is that? I can't remember where it shows all the videos and everything.
On the right hand side.
It's not a directory. I'm tempted to show you, but if I do, I'll probably have everything. Huh?
Visuals.
Yeah. Thank you. That's what it is. We had. I couldn't think of the label. It was visuals, and there's hundreds of these things that you go in there, and one of them has to do with the six types of grace, and how you can. Use those, but all it means is that arise from the dead. What it is like is any of us can get into this place where we need to awake. It says awake, sleeper. You're letting everything go by, and you're not doing what the Lord says. It says arise from the dead. You're not really dead, but you're temporarily dead. You live just like an unbeliever. Your spiritual life is null, and so that's what it is. So if you want to look it up, it's under where the deaths, there's seven deaths, and one of them is temporal death, and that's it. So, as a procedure, rebound is a mode of action in carnality. Does everybody know what carnality is? Okay. If you're carnal, it means you're sinful. And they call it carnality. Y'all have seen the top and bottom circle. And it's the top circle that God does everything. All you did was believe in Jesus on the cross. All that is what God does. But then the bottom circle is what we do. And whenever we sin, then we go out of that circle, the realm of where God is, and we go over here, and we're in carnality. And carnality is not a good place to be. It's because God is not helping you because you were arrogant and sinned against Him. And so that's what it's talking about here. As a procedure, rebound is a mode of action in carnality. You're just sitting there. You need to do something about it, and I'll show you in a moment. The procedure comes, we're talking about to rebound. That's what we're talking about here. The way you're going to get out of this carnality is to rebound. So the procedure comes in two stages. In the first stage, you simply identify the sin. So let's say that we've all just sinned, okay? I know you don't like to do it, but I'm just trying to make an illustration. We just sinned, and now we know that we sinned, and we are in carnality. And so how long do you want to be there, by the way? I would think the sooner you get out of there, the better. And so the first stage that you do in rebound is identify the sign, the sin. Because how can you name a sin if you don't even know what it is? So you identify the sin, and then the second stage is you simply name the sin. Can anything be any easier than that? Here you are in carnality because you sinned against God, and now you say, oh, I know what it is now. Okay, you know it. And then all you have to do is say, Father, I did such and such. You're right back in His good graces. A lot of people say, oh, that's too easy. Well, it's easy for us sometimes it's not so easy, but it was very uneasy for God to be able to produce that way of getting back into fellowship with Him after you have been saved. So here's a few things here. Number one, rebound is a modus operandi you cannot do without. Isn't that with movie? And the guy always said, I can think of it. It's an old movie, Dragnet. Remember Dragnet? And he would always be talking about the M.O. The M.O. was the modus operandi. It's the way you live your life. So rebound is a modus operandi you cannot do without. I mean, you can do it, but you're going to have a long, hard life if you have that attitude. Point two, the sin decision results in loss of the filling of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say holy, but I forgot to put it there. The rebound procedure recovers the filling of the Spirit. Without the filling of the Spirit, you do not have a spiritual life. You understand that? And you don't have the filling of the Holy Spirit if you are in carnality. So if you want to get out of carnality, what you need to do is rebound, which fires up the Holy Spirit. So without the filling of the Holy Spirit, you do not have a spiritual life. The filling of the Spirit is the power that makes the spiritual life work. Y'all have any questions over anything so far? Okay. Number three, the sin decision results in walking in darkness. When you're walking in darkness, where are you? I mean, are you in the divine dynasphere or are you in the cosmic system? Cosmic system. So when you're walking in darkness, you don't have anything going for you. You're estranged from God. You don't have the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's not a pleasant place to be. Now, the rebound decision results in walking in the light. Would you rather walk in the dark or the light? We want to go in the light. And it's our choice of where we're going to be walking. And walking is essentially a term that we use for living. So you could say the sin decision results in living in darkness, but this is just the way the Bible presents it. Number four. The sin decision, that means that when you decide to sin, results in the sin nature control of the soul. So when when we decide to sin, then we're turning our whole everything over to the control of the old sin nature, which will be controlling the soul. The rebound decision results in God's Holy Spirit once again taking over control of your soul and your life. So there's a battle going on all the time. The Holy Spirit is constantly, boom, 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 doing all these things. Go ahead and do it. You're worth it. You've been a good guy. You've been a good woman. Go ahead. It'll be all right. But He's constantly trying to get us to sin. He can't make us sin. He doesn't have a power over us because now we're believers and the Holy Spirit is in us. So the rebound decision results in God the Holy Spirit once again taking over control of your soul and your life and kicking the old sin nature to the curb. I added that last part. And number five, failure to rebound means no spirituality, no spiritual life. The sin continues to control your life. This eventuates in false doctrine replacing true doctrine in the soul, and it just goes nowhere. So we're showing these things that you need to... out of all the things that I've been teaching last Tuesday and tonight, what I'm trying to get the point across that if you're not acknowledging your sins, if you're not rebounding just all the time, nearly, or every time you sin, every time you do that, these things that I've been showing you here means it's not just a small thing. Because when you sin, it's not a small thing to God. And if you think, oh, well, it's no big deal, or whatever it may be, it's like nearly like somebody just cutting your oxygen that you take in to breathe in half. That's how serious it is. And so all these things that God wants to do, He doesn't want you to be in carnality. He wants you to be in the spiritual realm so you can have fellowship with Him. All these things that happen, and right at the bottom of it is the rebound, because when you just do that one thing, or some people might have to have a list. Oh, let's see, I did this and this and this. It doesn't matter what any of that is. You humble yourself to do it, and God has promised that it's going to be moved, that sin will be instantly forgiven as far as the east is from the west. I'm going to skip these for right now, because we don't have much time, and there's some things that I want to show. We'll go down to here. Apart from rebound, there can be no function for the believer in the spiritual life. Now, read that again. Look at that. That is very serious. Apart from rebound, there can be no function for the believer in the spiritual life. That means you're not even in the spiritual realm. You're down there with Satan. You're a slave of Satan. Rebound is recovery of fellowship with God, or re-entry into the spiritual life for the continuation of the Christian way of life. You can't live the Christian way of life, all these things that you won't have, unless you know how to function with the rebound. Okay, here are some verses that I'm going to show you with. This first thing you see here, 1 John 1:9, we know is our verse, but it's not a verse here. It's just presented as having these other ones coming up afterwards. So 1 John 1:9 isn't the only verse that declares the way to get back into fellowship with God when we sin. So I think that 1 John 1:9 is the most clear, most powerful, but these others are saying the same thing in a different way. Here's an example. Psalm chapter 32, verse 5 says, I, and this is David that is writing this psalm, acknowledge my sin, my sin to thee, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and thou didst forgive the guilt of my sin. Selah. Selah means that the people who are singing and have the things, flutes or whatever it is, they take over, and the person that is giving the psalm is at rest at that time. So this is in the Old Testament, and David knew this. You know how David knew this? Because he didn't do it as he was supposed to. He had a lot of things in his life that He thought, maybe I don't see these as sins. I don't have to do this. Well, the Lord changed his mind. Psalm chapter 51, verse 1 through 4. For the choir director, a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet came to him after he had gone to Bathsheba. That's one of the most phenomenal things. Of course, David was a spectacular guy. But when he did things, he did them big. When he went out and killed Goliath, that was a big deal. But then when he sinned big also. And he saw Bathsheba. He said he had to have her. Anyway, he did all these horrible things. And Bathsheba's husband came home because David thought, well, if he comes home, then everybody will think it's his baby and not mine. And he said, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to leave all my fellow soldiers out there and me be able to do this. And that didn't work. So he just told the one in charge of the army at that time, he says, put him in the most dangerous place there was. It's nearly suicide. Essentially, he killed her husband. And anyway, it goes on and on. But here he's saying, I was going to tell you this part. Nathan, I love that Nathan was a prophet. He was phenomenal. And one time he went to David and he said, I have something to ask you about. There's a man that has only one sheep, and he loves that sheep, and he just, it's like his daughter. And he said, another man came in, he said he wanted to buy that sheep. And he said, no, you can't buy it because it was, it's the only one I have, and so forth. But and he said, but the rich guy that had thousands of sheep, he went and took it anyway. And David got mad. He said, that man shall surely be put to death. And Nathan said, you are the man. And David knew what he was talking about. Whew, man, that's big stuff. Anyway, I had to say this to try to put this in perspective. Be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the greatness of thy compassion, blot out my transgressions, plural. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. If they're ever before me, he wasn't rebounding until now. You understand that? He says, for I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only I have sinned and done what is evil in thy sight, so that thou art justified when thou dost speak and blameless when thou dost judge. And of course, the rebound occurred also. Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Do you understand that? What that's about? If you're not up to date with whatever you've sinned, and and you want something from God, and you're praying to get it, or praying for someone else, whatever it is, it's not going to work. Because he says, if I regard iniquity, in other words, if I've sinned and it's still in my heart and I haven't acknowledged it, the Lord won't hear me. I'll add the last part of that. Until you humble yourselves and acknowledge your sins to God, which is rebound, then he will hear you, but not before. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper. But he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. See, 1 John 1:9 isn't the only verse that is explaining this. And then we have Matthew chapter 3, verse 6. And they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. Let me see something right here. That's a lot of things that I would have to tie together. We only have about 8 minutes left. So I think I'm going to call it quits for right now here. Do any of you have any questions or any comments? Is everything clear that all these things that I were presenting to you, are you good to go with those? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, I got to get up there. This? No. Oh, two, okay. Hebrews. Okay. That sounds more like it'd be Hebrews. I can't change it right now because if I do, this thing would fly away. Every time that I'm going to touch a button, I see what y'all are doing. And all of y'all are going, get ready to duck or something. I don't know what it is. Okay, well, I still have at least one more of how far we've gone on this. And there's some really things that you might not have thought about that you need to know about how important it is. Tuesday night, I was talking about how it's so sad that there are millions and billions of people. And a lot of them some of them are good people and some of them aren't, but the ones that are especially, they want to be right with God. Anytime somebody sins, they know that they're not right with our Maker. And they want to do something about it. And it's so sad that none of them know any of these things. So I would ask you, whenever you talk to somebody, especially if you've given the gospel and they have accepted the gospel, the very next thing you need to talk to them about is how to recover from your post-salvation sins. Maybe they just believe the gospel right then. That'd be a great time to tell them, you're going to sin and you don't have to do anything other than what the Bible describes. And when you humble yourself, see, the whole thing that God wants is for you to be humble. When you're humble, He's ready to help or do anything that He has said He would do. And tell them about rebound. Tell them about all you have to do is acknowledge that sin and it is gone. And there's some perspectives that I'll do next Tuesday that I think will help clear some of the fog that people have about this also. Let's close. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your word and for your grace. What grace is, wonderful grace. It'd be horrible with no grace, but you are full of grace for us. We pray that you will help us to look for people who don't know how to get right with God after they have been saved. Or even if you've given the gospel, and if we've given the gospel, I think that needs to go along with it. If not, they're going to wonder, well, this isn't so hot after all. This is a very important thing. So we pray that you will give us the wisdom and we'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will guide us and help us to teach these things to people that don't know them. So we thank you for this. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.